Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Joe Waldrum. I'll be the liturgist this morning. Well, it's chilly outside, but the heat's on in here, so you don't have to worry about that. We're glad to have you here. We're glad to have any guests that are here with us today. We're really grateful that you're here to join us in worship. Please fill out the attendance pads at the ends of the pews so we can keep up with who was here and also report accurate numbers to our district office. You can look at the back of your bulletin for the announcements. Thanks to everyone who made Hog on the Hill a huge success. It was one of the best ones yet. I was told it was real Lollapalooza. Today is Laity Sunday. We are honored to have Diane Wright, Jenny Curris, and Caleb Conrad speaking this morning with messages God has laid on their hearts. Asbury is putting together a boys and girls basketball team. Contact Diane Wright through her email listed on the staff list in your bulletin to sign up by October the 28th. The pumpkin patch is doing well. Make note of the times in the bulletin and visit the patch and buy your pumpkins. See the information in the bulletin for Terrific Tuesdays coming on November the 6th. The Garth Travis Band, including our own Todd Mead, will be playing during the luncheon. And don't forget to vote November the 6th. Thanks to everyone who has turned in their pledge card and covenant form. For those who have not, they can be given to an usher or turned into the office. And finally, please don't forget the district-wide charge conference this afternoon at 3 p.m. at St. James United Methodist Church. Everyone is welcome. Please look at the back of the bulletin for the details of these and other things going on in the life of Asbury. And now I invite everyone to greet each other and pass the peace of Christ. Stand and join me in the call to worship. Trust in the Lord. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. Worship the Lord in holy array. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected our prayer or remove his steadfast love from us. Now let us sing the hymn of praise, Be Thou My Vision, on page 451. Please remain standing for our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be a church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning, guys. How was your weekend? Good. I have a question. What's a talent? Jerry, what's talent?
It's something you can do that most people can't.
It's something you can do that most people can't. Could it also be something that you're good at, even if someone else is good at doing it? So I want you to think. Think really, really hard. You have 3 seconds. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Everybody have something that you're really good at? Raise your hand if you know what it is. You have something that you're really, really good at doing? Garrison, what are you good at doing? What are you good at doing, Garrison?
The river turned to blood.
Oh, the river turned to blood.
The river turned to blood. You're good at making the river turn to blood? Well, good job, bud. That's something most people can't do. Amy, what's something you're good at doing?
Cartwheels.
Cartwheels. Drew. climbing. Okay, so let me see. We've got cartwheels. Avery, last one. Dance. Dance better than gymnastics? Yeah. So we know we're all good at something, but I have a question. Everybody think of David. What was David? Before he was a king, what was he before he was a king? He was a what?
Shepherd.
A shepherd. Was he the oldest or the youngest? Youngest. And did his dad really think he had any talent? No, but who saw something in David? God. So are you telling me that God sees something that we don't see in ourselves? So here's my challenge. Whenever you're stuck, whenever you think that you're not good at something, what can you do? Can you pray to God? Michael, what can you do?
You can, yes.
You can pray to God. So I want us to think when we're stuck, when we think someone's better than us, or when we think that we can't do something, let's pray to God, okay? Let's do it. Dear God, we thank you for our talents, the ones that we know about, and the ones that you know about. Thank you for believing in us. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
Talent in this church. Now let us pray. Our most loving and gracious Heavenly Father, on this Laity Sunday, we are reminded that we are part of one body, but we are called as individuals within the body. individuals called to exercise the gifts that you have given us to edify your church and extend your kingdom here on earth. When you call us as children and new members into your holy family, we are to be doers of your word. All of us become part of a holy priesthood with Jesus as our high priest. Help us to remember we all have a part in the priesthood, to be holy and righteous in your sight, showing the world the majesty and glory of your Son. Father, this morning we lift those who are sick, those who are in the hospital, and those who are hurting. Grant peace and comfort to all of these in their time of pain, whether it's from illness or the loss of a loved one. We also lift up Diane to you. Speak to us through the message that you have laid on her heart. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Gracious provider, we thank you for the blessings you so richly pour upon us, your children. May we extend those blessings to those in need to truly show the love you first showed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sing our hymn of meditation, The Gift of Love, number 408 in your hymnal.
wonderful this morning. You may be seated. This morning, our message comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning with the 18th verse. And this morning, I am going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. As he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, my rock and redeemer. If I am in your way this morning, move me to the side for your word to be proclaimed. It is in your holy name I pray. Amen. Good morning. Thank you. For those of you who may not have met me yet, my name is Diane Wright. On Sunday, May 13th, I began the wonderful journey of working for you as the minister to youth and young adults. In a previous life, I also worked here as the membership and publication secretary. I am a Cradle United Methodist, having been born into St. Paul United Methodist here in Little Rock. My sister and I were baptized there. I was married there, and my three children were also baptized there. My husband Chris and I have been married almost 12 years. He is a preacher, good timing. He is a preacher at Mount Carmel United Methodist Church, although we're going to talk about that more in a minute. Together, we have three children. Dylan is 11, Michael is 7, and Jason is 3. So obviously, you can tell that I live the most boring life there is to live. No. Seriously, we are thrilled to be here, and you all have been the most welcoming to all five of us, and it is much, much appreciated. One thing you need to know about me is that, like Sabrina was talking about with the kids, I also have a couple of gifts up my sleeve. I love writing. I love planning youth retreats, such as the fall retreat the youth will be going on next weekend. I love encouraging people. However, I do have some things I will admit to all of you that I'm not so good at. For example, not good at math. You want to know more than 2 plus 2 or 5 plus 5, please make sure I have a calculator, and I might still get it wrong. My children have already been tutored by their father, and if it goes beyond Chris, they're going to have to be tutored by my sister, who is a pharmacist, my parents, who are accountants, my mother-in-law, who is an accountant. You can see I did not get the gene. Also, if you actually want to know where you're going, you might not want to ask me for directions. You see, I know the South Lawn, and I actually think this is correct, is that way? Because that's where the pumpkins are, and y'all go buy all the pumpkins from 12 to 5 today. It supports the youth group. Go buy them. But I don't, is the north parking lot that way? Did I get it right? I didn't even practice that. I know that's where we have the youth car washes. Doug had to teach me that. For example, if somebody tells me to turn right at the red house, but 6 months from now, they paint that red house yellow, and Siri doesn't tell me where to go, then I don't know. I'm not going to get there because I can't read a physical map to save my life. Have you ever been lost? Few things send me into a panic like when I am lost. The night before I turned 16, I got lost going to Purple Cow with my father. A few years ago, I got lost with a church van of youth going to a Christmas party destination, and nothing will ramp up your nerves like some youth telling you you don't know where you're going when you know you don't know where you're going. Trust me, there are many, many times in between we could talk about, but I think we all have plans after this service. It can jolt us when our direction is changed. Sometimes our life direction can be changed, but it is an extremely unnerving experience. Our scripture lesson today, taken from Matthew 4, finds us after John the Baptist has talked about the coming of Jesus, as well as after Jesus has been baptized. Following Jesus being baptized, he was sent into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights before he began his ministry to the disciples and preaching to the crowds. The scripture begins by saying, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee. I can picture Jesus being on a casual afternoon stroll, thinking about whatever the Son of Man thinks about on a random Tuesday afternoon. While walking, Jesus sees Simon Peter and Andrew. I'm sure these two men did not wake up thinking they were going to have an encounter with the Promised One, the Messiah. They were doing what they were taught. They were fishermen because it was their family business. The same is true for James and John. They woke up on a random morning thinking they were going to do what they had done the day before and would do the day after. All four were doing what they had been trained to do, the family business. History tells us the disciples were most likely teenagers. They would have begun school several years before with the hopes of becoming a rabbi. At age 14, the best of the best would continue to apply oral and written law from various teachers and years of commentary on the books of Moses and the prophets. Each rabbi would have their own interpretation of how to live out the Torah. But the fact that Peter, Andrew, James, and John were with their father fishing means they had already been told they were not the best of the best. They had been defined as not good enough, so they were sent back to help with the family business. You'll notice the scriptures say immediately, both times when Jesus called them to follow him. There is no 2 weeks notice. There is no job orientation. There's barely a job interview. However, immediately, right now, they put down what they are doing to go follow Jesus. I'm not sure it was immediately, but I will admit I did not give much hesitation at all 6 years ago when the then youth director at St. Paul called me one afternoon to tell me that he was resigning from the position of youth director and recommending me to the senior pastor for the job. I had been a leader in my youth growing up. For a time, I was program director at Camp Tanico, a conference camp in Hot Springs. And as I mentioned previously, I also worked here at Asbury. I had experience with church work, but I felt a strong calling towards youth ministry. I loved being the youth director for my home church. And honestly, when I took that job, I never thought I would work for another church. My dream was unlocked. Except God began working on my heart. He began whispering to me that my calling was not just to be a part-time youth director at St. Paul, but to be a youth director. 3 years ago, just 5 weeks after our now 3-year-old Jason was born, I began working for Sardis United Methodist Church outside Bauxite as their full-time youth director. A few weeks into working at Sardis, I told God he was right. I absolutely loved doing youth ministry full-time. I loved how fulfilling it was. I loved knowing I was making a difference. I told Chris and God that our life seemed complete and we were happy. Have you ever heard the phrase, God laughs while you're making plans? Because I'm pretty sure that's what God was doing when I uttered that statement. A few weeks later, while I was with the youth working at a food pantry, I received a text message from my husband, Chris, telling me he wanted to seriously explore going into the ministry to be an ordained elder. And I'll admit to y'all, I rolled my eyes and I said, oh, here we go again. You see, Chris told me several years prior to that that he wanted to go into the ministry, but he wasn't sure what that meant. I shoved it aside because it didn't fit in with my plan. Now that I was in full-time ministry, it really didn't fit into my plan. Life was smooth sailing. I was content where I was. He loved his job. We were in a really good place. You see, in our marriage, we had already experienced my aunt dying the day before I got married, Chris graduating college, several job changes, moving to Hot Springs and back, two beautiful boys being born, a miscarriage, and then Jason being born after that. We were in a good place. Life was good. So I did what any good wife would do. I told him he had my blessing to pursue the process, while praying to God that God would knock Chris upside the head to make him realize that being a preacher to a full-time youth director was not a good idea, and he would just have to settle for doing ministry as the youth director's husband. However, Monday, September 12th, 2016, forever changed my perspective. That morning, I was on my way to Sardis to meet some UMW ladies for a luncheon. At 10 o'clock, I went from on my way to work, mad that I had toothpaste, bright blue, right here, on my shirt, to being in a car accident because the other driver fell asleep at the wheel and hit me head on. I had a compound fracture just above my left ankle that it required immediate surgery later that evening. I'd had surgery before. I was born with a cleft lip and palate, and so I'd had several surgeries from the time I was 3 months old until I was 17. However, with this surgery, I was in the hospital for 2 days and then spent the next 6 months relearning how to walk. Those months taught me several things, but one of those is that life can change in an instant. And so, while being completely scared out of my mind, because I didn't know what being a pastor's wife meant, I talked long and hard with God and told him that we could be a ministry family, whatever that meant. You see, although the disciples immediately told Jesus they would follow him, I'm pretty sure they were also scared. They didn't know what they were getting themselves into. As I said earlier, there was no job orientation. There was barely a job interview. However, Jesus saw something in these men that their school teachers missed. He saw they were worthy. He saw they were capable of learning and following. He saw they would be the ones who would carry Jesus' message beyond the 3 years that they sat at his feet. I believe Jesus sees the same thing in each of us as well. You might be sitting here this morning saying, Diane, I don't have a calling. I don't want to be a youth pastor. I don't want to work with children, and I definitely don't want to preach every week. And to that I say, I see you, but so does God. Do you like cooking? Maybe your calling is to make a meal for someone when they're in the hospital, or a family when they have a loved one pass away. Do you like rocking babies? Maybe your calling is taking a Sunday morning rotation to work in our nursery. Do you like organizing? Maybe your calling is to be on a committee, helping plan events for the church or being an office volunteer in our church office. Your calling can be to run the sound equipment for the services, playing the praise band, singing our choir. What are your gifts? What are your talents? If you are a child of God, you have a gift. If you're not sure, ask those closest to you. Many times, God speaks through those with whom we allow our earthly ears to hear. Do you really think Jesus thinks you can do it? That's the whole premise of the system. The rabbi won't accept someone who can't make it. Jesus calls teenage rejects and second-class citizens to be his disciples, and he continues to call them today. So often we hear voices saying, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, for whatever reason. The world tells me my cleft lip and palate makes me weak. My God tells me I am his child, made perfect in God's image. The world tells me to cover up my scars, lipsticks for the scars around my lip and pants for the scars on my leg. My God tells me the world sees my outside appearance, but he pays attention to my heart. The world tells me I am young. My God tells me not to let people look down on me because I am young, but that I am to set an example to the world for them to see Christ through me. What is the world telling you? You're too young. You're too old. You have a million kids, and you don't know what the next 5 minutes is going to hold, let alone the next 5 years. No matter the voices inside your head, or what the world is telling you, God's voice is bigger and stronger. The wonderful thing about God is he will never give up on us. We can never outrun God. If you think you can, go ask Jonah. Even if the voices are too much, God will sit with us while we are working through the situation. Even if it feels like our partner, our friends, our family, or whomever, fill in that blank, gets tired of sitting with us while we wrestle with our decisions, our God will never leave us or forsake us. By the way, the weekend after I accepted this position, Chris received the call that he would be appointed to Mount Carmel. Once again, God changed our direction from what we thought would happen, and once again, God's plan has been the perfect one. May we take time to wrestle with our calling. May we take the time to listen to God's voice about how we can help further his kingdom and make disciples with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. And may we know God will continue calling his children, especially when it changes the direction of our lives for his kingdom's sake. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Our hymn of commitment this morning is Here I Am, Lord, on page 593, found in our hymnal. As we sing this hymn, I invite you to think about what God might be calling you to do. Maybe you need to ask God, what exactly are you talking to me about? Our prayer rails are always open for you to pray those prayers. If there are those who would like to join our faith family, our pastors Reverend Hilliard and Reverend Walker will be happy to greet you. Now let us stand and sing, Here I Am, Lord.
Thank you. I know you absolutely rejoice with me this morning in welcoming this beautiful family to Asbury United Methodist Church all the way from Ghana. I have to say, in over 30 years of ministry, this is my first international transfer of membership, and I could not be more delighted that it's with Daniel and Lydia Achampung. I'm so proud. I've been working on that. And they are coming to us from Grace Methodist Church, so we already observe their profession of faith and their vows made to the United Methodist Church. But to make it this day a special day for Asbury, I'm just going to ask you this. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and serving Christ at Asbury United Methodist Church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
Yes, we will.
Praise God. And as you can see, we have another one coming very soon to this wonderful family that we call Asbury. So I would now like to turn the microphone over to Diane as she gives us our blessing.
Receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.